afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet. Today, you're with Selena and special guest Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Selena. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Now, Terry is one of our, seasoned gardeners. And we're going to share with you all about gardening online, because we're now in the 21st century and there's no going back. And so most of us will have online or internet, and we go on to look up our plants and find out information. And so we have done a bit of research and want to share with you all the good gardening tips that we can find online. And one of the first places we go to, because a lot of us have Facebook accounts, Terry, there's lots of groups on there. Share with us what you found.
Well, I'm not, generally speaking, a Facebook user. However, what sort of encouraged me to set up a Facebook account was the fact that there are a number of gardening groups. And they're really interesting, and you know, there's a huge amount of stuff. You know, I caution you at this point, pause through your news feed as a result of joining a garden group.
You'll get so much.
Yeah, and you know, to some degree, you have to be very selective and just sort of bin it and stuff. But there's also this huge wealth of information, and I've sort of thought about some of the reasons that I think that it's a functioning thing, because I don't have a personal involvement with Facebook, you know, chatting with rallies or showing them pictures of my lunch. So, but the things that I get from the gardening sites, A, that it's a group always, and that they are managed and administrated sites, and there can be some quite strong rules around that, and obviously you have to read all those before you jump in, but they're usually about you know, being generous and kind. And one of the ones that I use the most or see the most of is to do their rules are to do with killing things, because there are people go, kill it, you know, spray weed spray all over it, all sorts of things like that, and that stuff gets stopped very promptly. But the good things that I like about the sites are, you know, for one thing, you're discovering you know, as many crazy gardeners, plant hunters, garden obsessives, etc. as yourself. If you're involved with gardening, there's just a vast amount of information, and the opportunity for information exchange and finding stuff out. And that sort of sense of there have been thousands of us out there burrowing into the earth and having full-on relationships with the natural environment and learning Gaia's ways with what, you know, what ails it and what helps. Gaia's a wonderful teacher, and it's in places like this we can share the teachings, because you've got what I've always thought of as an infinite topic. You know, I've been gardening away at my place for decades and still feel like I'm in the beginning of the exercise, which is fine, because, you know, there's no end to the learning and there's no end to the discoveries, and it's like an infinite topic, and there's the wisdom of masses out there. And newbies on these sites can ask questions and get a huge amount of wisdom from others, and though sometimes the answers are wrong, and you know, this is part of the group,
it's part of your learning.
kind of, yeah, but it's also that if somebody puts up wrong information, somebody else will jump in with the right information, and somebody will have you know, links to the right information. So you know, mistakes are easily made, but particularly in plant identification or creatures or problems that, you know, like, why does my plant look like this? Photo of withered plant.
Putting up photos.
Some clever person will say, water it. However, somebody else might say, look at that little bug on the left-hand leaf. And so, you know, it all becomes a good dialogue around what that person's problems are.
What plant is this?
What plant is this? Right. another part of it that's quite good. I mean, here we are, for the most part, although your audience may be across the nation, certainly the website, their Facebook pages are across the nation, and you get to see gardens from all sorts of parts and get some sense of what they're growing, what the weather conditions are, and also that there are plants from across the country and from the country, so you see country gardens, which is not always something that we can access in the city.
May I do a plug for Garden Planet? We have our own Facebook group. It's just Garden Planet, and that's where I put on the, you know, the link to our episodes, so
everyone knows when they are. Gosh, I think the links should be on some of these other sites that we're talking about too, because some of them have got massive followings.
So joining some other sites.
Join some other sites and put up these links so people all over the country can get them.
Yep.
And, you know, talking about you being on Facebook with your blog and things, I read some very sad news on the Facebook
page. Yes. Our plants got poisoned. Well, something very mysterious happened to them. They shriveled up and died. And, we believe that our water got contaminated. So
when you say we, is this your garden?
Our community garden group, yes, down at Woodside Community Garden. So we're very sad about that because we won't be getting our tomatoes and our cucumbers and all the other things we wanted to grow to eat. But what did survive that didn't get watered or poisoned was comfrey, which I think we can go into our plant of the week, just a little aside there.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower.
So you've made it plant of the week by its ability to survive this terrible onslaught.
Well, maybe it didn't get watered, but it doesn't really need the watering because it's such a tough plant that it will, the roots are so,
deep,
that it'll find water. And the wonderful thing about this plant is it's a good companion for fruit trees, because the roots go really deep into soil, it will bring up all the minerals and store them in the leaves so that when you use the leaves for compost or mulch, it becomes available to the plants that you mulch.
Sure, and I've got a couple of them, and on mostly hard, good Waitakere clay ground. And they don't, you know, I mean, clay ground can be so hard, especially on a hillside, because it's hard to retain either cover on there. And they go down for miles, obviously. And I pluck the leaves from time to time, biff them into the compost because I've got one next to the bin.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I just sort of mulch around things sometimes when I'm picking the leaves off, because they do get, you know, nice and holy, because insects are not silly. They come along and get the medicinal value.
Yes, yes.
And those tatty-looking ones go on the ground literally around the other plants nearby.
Yeah.
And blue flowers, so the bees like to come along.
I see mine and think they're kind of pink, but do you get blue ones?
Well,
pinky blue.
I guess it depends at what kind of bee you might be and what you see, but certainly the bees are attracted to it.
Mm.
And there are medicinal uses, but you have to be incredibly careful about taking it internally because there's potential liver damage involved. But if you make poultices with it,
just use it.
It's really good externally.
So by a poultice, you mean like mash it up
and warm it up and put a sort of
cloth around it.
Cloth and maybe, ideally a bit of warmth to get it working.
And then just apply it to where it hurts, I suppose.
Yep. And it can be, because its old name was bone knit.
Or knit bone knit.
Good for
healing
breaks.
Yeah.
And bone
so
issues.
Kind of like bandage.
Yeah, so you can make a poultice and leave it on and maybe overnight and or whatever and do it again.
Have you tried that, using it that way? Have you ever tried
I haven't had the need for bone knit, but I do know somebody who had a terrible cycle accident, and she was in Middlemore Hospital, and uninclined to eat the food that she was given, but having friends bring in lots of highly nutritious food, but also bringing in comfrey and applying that. And the hospital was, shall we say, amazed and delighted with her progress, with the bones being fixed. So, you know, there are stories around.
Oh, wonderful comfrey.
Wonderful comfrey.
So there you go. When you're planting it, make sure where you plant it is where you want it to stay.
You can never get it out, that's for sure.
And, yeah, it makes a good weed suppressant. So if you happen to have kaikuyu, maybe you want to plant it where the kaikuyu want to get their rhizomes everywhere, so it will kind of shade it out. And
problem is, though, that it's deciduous. I mean, it's seasonal.
Yes.
So you only have it there for 6 months, so it can't really be a suppressant full-time.
Well, during the 6 months that leaves are fully out anyway.
Yeah, big hairy leaves.
And you can just mow over anyway and it'll come back, so...
For sure.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, going back to Facebook. So I'm very sorry to hear that somebody has tampered with your community garden. That's a very uncosmic thing to do.
To do is try and grow some indicator plants to see if there's been any other damage and, yeah, just see how that goes. So we're keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, but are you able to...
We've reported it to the police, so they need to know stuff this.
Have you got some little geek in the group that can set up some cameras?
Ooh, possibly.
They check their laptop from time to time. Not that most of those cameras really don't show the person concerned, but it just has to wonder.
A scarecrow with a spy camera inside. I don't know.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going back to sort of ways and means of using Facebook pages, amongst the things that I think could be of benefit to people if they were doing this kind of gardening was that it always inevitably, even though it's sort of bracketed gardening, comes to animal welfare. So there's bits about their chooks and bee towers and lizard hotels and how to deal with visiting weka, kererutui, those sorts of things. And it kind of gives you some insight as a viewer of the content of what's happening with bird life around the country as well. People saying, we're seeing tui in the garden for the first time in years and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know in Auckland that is not an issue. But in other parts of the country where they're restoring the surrounding environment, these are indicators of that. There's discussions about landscaping and some clever tricks from people about use of resources, you know, cheap as recycled things that you can make into other things in the garden. And, of course, then there's plant ID, which seems to be a big part of what people put up there. What is this plant?
Yeah.
And I think we can talk about a few plant ID apps.
Yes, I haven't really got into that side of
it's...
Because, if you're part of a Facebook group and you put up a picture, most likely you'll get some sort of ID the instant that you put it up.
Yeah.
And someone will know, and then you're quite happy. If a lot of people know that's the same thing, then you're pretty sure that it is that thing.
But they can be, I mean, I haven't used them as, you know, phone apps and stuff, partly because they're not entirely straightforward. I keep saying I just want Shazam for plants. But
Shazam?
Which is a music ID. You hold it up to the speaker and it goes, this record by blah, blah, blah. It's not as straightforward as that.
Okay.
But I'll mention a few names and a few sites that we can get stuff like that from. The other thing, amongst the other things on Facebook pages, is about cooking and preserving and using all the things that you grow in the garden.
Okay.
And many people have all sorts of wonderful ideas. They're not writing recipes as such, but saying, look what I made jam out of today.
Yeah.
And look, somebody was putting up, what did I say? It was succulent cupcakes, except that they were icing made, you know,
to look like succulents.
Perfectly wonderful. Oh. But, you know, it kind of triggers the ideas around succulents and very cute.
Very creative.
That. Yeah.
Terry, are you part of many Facebook groups or just one big one?
Two, but I'll mention some. I'll have a list and, you know, things to explore.
Yeah.
The ones that I have on, you know, that I've linked to are New Zealand Gardening on a Budget, which is all in.
Wonderful.
and sort of people trying to be gardeners and often without much money.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that keeps coming up is people who are trying to be gardeners and who are renters.
And that's
such an interesting challenge as well,
it is,
you know?
With the landlords and what you're allowed and not allowed.
And,
yeah, what do you do when you move? And
that's right. And this is where you end up getting people saying, you know, get an old container of some sort that they may have sourced and then they and grow it in that and then you can take it with you when you have to go. So you know, there's some real challenges and lots of suggestions.
Yeah.
So that's good. The other one that I quite like is Backyard Gardeners New Zealand.
Oh, I'm part of that too.
Yeah, because it's got a slightly different, it doesn't seem to be quite as active and quite as New Zealand Gardening on a Budget, but it's on a different scale. So these are people who might be planting trees or whole terraces driveways or whatever. So it has a slightly more rural quality to it.
I'll tell you a few I'm part of. The flower ones, New Zealand Flower Gardeners.
Okay.
Quite interested in that. And also Compost Collective, although that's very not as active. It's only if you're really interested in how to compost and they give you tips and things.
Yeah.
And the other one, which has just escaped me at the moment. West Auckland Gardeners. So it's just the West Aucklanders.
Okay. Well, the conditions out west are quite different.
Yeah.
We don't have the blessings of Auckland's wonderful volcanoes.
Clay soil mostly. And because it's local, you can swap your seeds and your plants locally, and that sort of helps keep it. You know where you are, what kind of suburb you live in, and you sort of know the conditions and the,
Yeah, well, that's actually worth having a swap and a share thing. Garden and Traders New Zealand. I'd have to have these in front of me now to tell you what their unique features are because I'm not linked into them. There's one called For the Love of Orchids. I've become a little bit slightly orchidy. I'm not saying orchid obsessed. There's just a couple that I'm using in particular ways, and there's a great deal to learn about orchids.
Mm-hmm.
New Zealand bred roses. Oh, New Zealand For the Love of Orchids is the name of one. New Zealand Orchid Collectors is the name of another. Then there's endless roses. New Zealand bred roses.
Yes.
Buy, sell, swap roses, NZ.
Okay.
NZ Rose Growers.
Yep.
And these ones are particularly interesting to me because I do, from the New Zealand Gardening on a Budget and Backyard Gardeners, quite limited engagement with New Zealand natives, I feel, from the general dialogue. And I just don't know why we wouldn't use New Zealand natives.
Why not?
They're right for the environment, they're right for the climate. People say they don't have flowers. They sometimes do, well, they all do, but they're usually very, very tiny. But if you're creating, you know, layers, not just sort of little garden beds, but sort of big borders or whatever, you can always use the natives very successfully there. Likewise for the subtropical mix, you know. Excuse me, they don't have to be exclusive, and I do think that people have thought over the years, if you have New Zealand natives, then that's all you can have, you know.
No.
You have to be a purist, and I go, no, mix them with the exotic, mix them with the subtrops, etc. So the one site I found, that New Zealand Native Plant Enthusiasts, had 3,000 followers, but the next one I found really interesting, New Zealand Veggie Gardeners has 73,000 followers.
Oh, I might join that one.
73,001.
Oh. Okay, yep, I'll be the next member.
And there's New Zealand Organic Gardening.
Oh.
So these are all huge pools of knowledge,
yes,
and great exchange points for information. And let's face it, gardeners will just gobble information. Yeah. I think they're always keen learners.
Can I add another one to that, which is probably a smaller following, but it's going to grow? It's Rongoa.
How do you spell that?
Rongoa, R-O-N-G-O-A. So there's various groups around, but Joanne, who came to guest on Garden Planet in last year, she's going to be talking more about that. So all about native New Zealand plants you can use as medicine and for your health and well-being,
okay,
or any plants that are common around and just in your backyard to use as your, for your well-being.
I found a few other native sites which aren't Facebook pages. And I must say the one that gets referenced a great deal from the Facebook groups is, it's listed here as Plants New Zealand Native Botanical Names, which is actually www.terrain.net.nz.
Oh.
Now, Terrain is actually the Taranaki Educational Resource Research Analysis and Information Network. I think they probably thought up Terrain first and then decided how they were going to make it work.
T-E-R.
Exactly.
Just call it Terry.
But no, look, it is incredibly detailed, well-researched, coming out of Taranaki where people are seeing and working with these things.
Yeah.
On a daily basis and can report on any number of aspects of their growth or their conditions or their uses or whatever. So that's terrain.net.nz.
Okay.
Then you've got plant identification through the New Zealand Plant Conservation Network.
Yes.
Which is nzpcn.org.nz. Their claim on Google is the quickest way to identify a plant species is to take a photograph of it and upload it to the next network's forum and then ask fellow members, which is happening to, on the other pages that we've talked about as well.
Yeah.
Another plant ID one is through DOC.
Yes.
That's just doc.gov.nz. And then there's, I quite like the sound of this because it's it seems to be around photography, which is Bushman's Friend, one word, bushmansfriend.co.nz. Photography, New Zealand native plant and flowers. Who says, this is their claim, who says New Zealand plants don't have beautiful flowers? Photos and images emphasising the inflorescence and flowers of New Zealand natives.
Wow.
So if you're thinking, oh, but I only plant them if they've got flowers, you'll find some there.
Okay.
And another native plants, flowers, shrubs and trees of New Zealand is wildflowers-weeds.com.
Oh, wildflowers and weeds. Speaking of weeds, one that I've found useful in my horticultural studies was the Massey University weed ID.
Okay.
Because they, agricultural college, they have to identify what is weedy when they're farming, so...
So that's what, massey.ac.nz.
Yeah, and it's quite comprehensive of all the things that they classify as weeds on their website, like with all the scientific data about it and everything.
So you would Google massey/weeds?
Yeah, you just, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, speaking of those sorts of sites, especially around plant ID, because as you say on these Facebook pages, plant ID comes up a lot.
Mm.
The one that kept coming, I've asked for reference from those sorts of things, and the one that people kept coming back to, I've tried it and I got an answer, but it's not always the easiest process. But, with any website, it takes you know, it takes time to see what the thinking is behind the site, if you like. But PlantNet, which is spelt within the thing, plant, P-L-A-N-T, and then cap, net, N-E-T, all one word.
Oh, okay.
But with the cap, net in the middle. And that's a PlantNet phone app, you know, so you go to the store, be it your Android or your Apple and download that. And of course, with a phone, you can take a photo and push it up. So they're building their database as well, but they're also able, and then you sort of check off one of six things, which is like leaf, flower, blah, blah, because, you know, leaf might be the best way with most plants, but, you know, if you've got a very obvious flower. And then so it searches through its leaf catalogue until it comes up with something. It's free if you can tolerate ads. So, you know, you can just get it for nothing from the store. It seems to be the one that people come back to, but other ones that were mentioned were Plant Snap. It's got a cost of $3.99 for that one. But it says while it's the most expensive at $3.99, I think you'll probably find that's a App Store $3.99, which will be US, I suspect. It's also the most useful according to this review. Its interface is bright and friendly. What makes PlantSnap unique is its different method of searching.
Okay.
While most plants ID apps only let the user send a picture and receive information, PlantSnap allows you to search for plants by name. But that's a bit like the dictionary. How do you spell something when you don't know how to spell it? You know. So that's one to keep in mind. PlantSnap, these are all from your app store.
Yep.
Flower Checker. For the princely sum of 99 cents, it's in the App Store or Google Play Store. It's very easy to use, according to this. It says, although this app is great because you get an actual botanist to answer your specific questions, it can take up to a day to get an answer.
Actual botanist.
An actual botanist. As distinct from all of us on Facebook.
We're just not botanists.
Leaf Snap is a free app that's only available on the iPhone. Leaf Snap.
Leaf Snap. So Plant Snap, Leaf Snap, Flower
So obviously this is about delivering photos up. And getting a response that way.
Yeah.
NatureGate. NatureGate's another of iPhone-only one. It has a streamlined identification process that includes other options to expand your app. It's much different than other apps. According to this, instead of snapping an image, you enter in the colour, number of petals, leaf shape and habitat to see a narrowed list of plants. Well, that's what, without having an app, that's what I do with Google anyway.
Yeah.
When I say Google, I actually use, by the way, just for those who aren't mad about being tracked and getting 2 billion ads from, you know, suppliers, to use DuckDuckGo. But anyway, NatureGate, you enter all that data and it comes back with ideas and pictures and things, obviously, to match it.
Do some experimenting. I don't have an iPhone, but I have a smartphone. So,
well, a lot of these are on Android as well. So,
excellent, Terry. Wow, that is so much. Get clicking to to get searching and finding and sharing. So
it's a huge. I mean, it's the net's as big as the plant world. You know, exactly. So it's all out there somewhere.
It's a big wide web. As it is. That's what it is. So, gardeners, I hope you learned a lot from, well, I did. Thank you so much, Terry. We might have to have you back another time.
Oh, well, always like to keep up with you guys and what you're doing. And I hope, give us your Facebook page.
You go to Facebook and you type in Garden Planet, we'll come up. And you want to join, just ask to join. You'll get asked a couple of questions and then you're in.
Okay.
So, yeah, join our Facebook group.
Well done. And, of course, listen.
Yeah.
And click through the links from there as well.
Yeah, we'll put some more links on there if you join up. So happy gardening, everyone. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.